This extract is from Shooting an Elephant, an essay by George Orwell. It describes the experiences of a British policeman in Burma. Preceding this extract, an elephant has run rampant and has trampled a coolie to death. The narrator, the policeman, is called in to take charge of the situation, where a crowd of locals has amassed. This extract describes the narrator's internal conflict of whether or not to shoot the elephant in fear of the crowd watching him. Through the use of structure, punctuation, and diction, Orwell conveys the narrator's anxiety and indecision, as well as his fear at being laughed at. The extract is written in a first-person narrative structure, bringing the reader closer to the writer's experiences. The first-person narrative structure gives the reader a sense of engagement with the text, as if being addressed directly by the writer and being brought into the same situation. The use of the personal pronoun I, repeated throughout the text, gives individuality to the writer and his situation. The sentence structure through the text is often long and drawn out, representing the narrator's train of thought and his indecision. For example, in line 4, the phrase, "To come all that way, rifle in hand with 2,000 people marching at my heels, and then to trail feebly away having done nothing, no, that was impossible," is an extremely complex and compound sentence. The use of punctuation, such as commas, allows the author to add in, the essayist to add in extra points of information while adjusting the pace of the text. The use of the coordinating conjunction and creates a paratactic phrase, bringing the sentence to represent a train of thought, unbroken. The use of punctuation similarly builds on the narrator's anxiety. For example, in line 6, the hyphen preceding "no, that was impossible" slows the pace of the text, changing the rhythm. The pause indicates the narrator's contemplation of what he should do and his decision-making. The use of diction, such as "new" and "seems to me," similarly suggests the narrator's personal engagement and his attempt at coming to a resolution of what he should do. Orwell uses contrasts through structure to indicate the narrator's fear and indecision. For example, at line 9, following the first paragraph, the narrator says, "But I did not want to shoot the elephant." This sentence is in stark contrast to the previous sentences, which were long and drawn out. By using this simple sentence and changing the rhythm of the text entirely, Orwell creates a contrast, showing the narrator's anxiety in attempting to come to a decision quickly. The use of the coordinating conjunction "but" links that new fresh paragraph to the previous one, suggesting a fresh idea, and returning to that previous point constantly of deciding whether or not to shoot the elephant. Similarly, the narrator's fear is conveyed through his repetition of the natives laughing at him. In the initial paragraph, in line 2, he states, "A sahib has got to act like a sahib." The high modality of "has got to act" suggests his decisiveness that he must appear strong before the locals, such as when he says he has got to appear resolute. This is somewhat ironic and in contrast with the rest of the passage, where he is never really resolute and doesn't really understand what it is that he should do. This is the awareness of the natives is carried further through the text, as in line 32, when the narrator states, "I was not thinking particularly of my own skin, only of the watchful yellow faces behind." The use of the word watchful suggests the crowd looming behind him, awaiting and judging, waiting for the narrator's action. This loose sentence, or rather this periodic sentence, leaving the main point of the sentence to the end, builds suspense for the reader and shows the really emphasizes the narrator's anxiety. He later goes on to state, "A white man mustn't be frightened in front of natives," in line 34. The use of the contraction "mustn't" provides a sense of informality and speech-like quality to the text, as well as increasing the pace. This increase in pace could represent the narrator's feeling a need to come to a decision quickly, as through the entire text, as shown through the long drawn-out sentences, the narrator has been contemplating what it is he should really do. However, by this point, he begins to feel that he's running out of time and that the watchful yellow faces are waiting for some kind of action on his part. The narrator's anxiety is to shooting the elephant is shown clearly through lines 9 and through lines 9 through 15. The narrator describes the elephant, saying, "I watched him beating his bunch of grass against his knees." This literal imagery gives the reader a sense of the elephant's actions. The plosive alliteration of beating his bunch of grass against his knees appears to be a very innocent sort of action. While the elephant has just killed someone, the narrator does not feel inclined to exact any sort of harm upon the elephant, for beating his bunch of grass against his knees is hardly a reason for concern. The narrator also uses further literal imagery to describe the elephant as being as having a grandmotherly air, suggests bearing the connotations of wisdom and age, and appears not to be much of a threat. The narrator refers to the elephant as being him. This is interesting because it humanizes the elephant to a point, almost as if evoking a sort of sympathy from the reader for the elephant, giving the elephant a sort of innocence. The narrator refers to the act of shooting the elephant using the term murder. The distinction choice bears connotations of brutality and cold blood. By using the phrase "seemed to me," which has low modality and personal voice, the narrator distances himself from the desire to shoot and murder the elephant. The narrator further uses diction to show the SAS further uses diction to show the narrator's indecision and fear of acting by the phrase, "I was not squeamish about killing animals." The phrase "not squeamish" bears an almost defensive tone, as if the narrator would like to excuse himself from the situation. This links back to the motif of the natives watching him. The narrator's ultimate goal is not to be laughed at, and by emphasizing that he was not squeamish about killing animals, it's as if he attempts to excuse himself for not shooting the elephant. The repetition of the word never, bearing high modality, represents his firm stance against doing this. Orwell brings the text closer to speech through the use of punctuation. For example, in line 14, the phrase, "somehow always seems worse to kill a large animal," is included in parenthesis. This gives it the quality of being a sub-thought, an afterthought, just included for the sake of it, while not really relevant to the narrator's dilemma. In this way, it is not unlike spoken word in everyday life. Orwell could be seen to deliver a perhaps a political message, making the text almost an allegory. For example, towards the end of the text, the narrator states, "If anything went wrong," in line 37, "if anything went wrong, these 2,000 Burmans would see me pursued, caught, trampled on, and reduced to a grinning corpse, like that Indian up the hill." The narrator, being a policeman of the British Empire, could perhaps be seen to represent the entire empire. For example, if we return to the first paragraph, he states, "My whole life, every white man's life in the East, was one long struggle, not to be laughed at." The diction of struggle suggesting, perhaps, a failing. This provides a statement on imperialism in Burma. The list of pursued, caught, and trampled on, this list of three, provides a sequence of events, creating vivid imagery. With the phrase "reduced to a grinning corpse" to represent the white man being grim, literal imagery. The pairing of grinning and corpse seems ironic, as corpse suggests death, whereas grinning suggests joy.
Okay. Let me stop you there and come in and ask you a couple of questions, please, Darius. You've talked a little bit about the informality of the language, the fact that in some regards it's closer to speech. What would you say is the effect of this?
Orwell, by bringing the language closer to speech through his informality and colloquialism, such as "poor shot," this serves to make the text far more accessible to readers of perhaps different classes, of different levels of education, by using contractions and such, and very sparse literal imagery, such as toad under steamroller and grandmotherly air and bunch of grass against his knees. This imagery is simple, direct, and to the point. There are no metaphors used throughout the text. This makes the text perhaps more easily understood by a wide audience, allowing Orwell to perhaps convey his political message more easily.
Okay. How are we as readers apparently taken inside the narrator's head? That is, how are we given a sense of his mental processing? What words suggest this?
As previously discussed, the word "I," firstly, delivers the clear indication that we are being brought into the reader's mind. There's also a lot of diction representative of cognition and contemplation, such as the words "no" and "seems" and "mind."
Okay, and just finally, what do you think the narrator's general attitude to himself is?
The narrator, throughout the text, is very indecisive and anxious, as previously stated. He seems...
We're out of time.
Well done.